Hey everybody, C-Note here, and welcome to Dopamine, the show that is better than a lawnmower on podcast day. I started recording and there was a lawnmower and it was a nonsense. I went halfway through the episode and I was like, nope, this is too distracting. I can't do it. And I kind of reworked the concept. So today we're talking about storytelling and how the stories that we tell ourselves are pretty important narrative for how we want to move forward. And this is kind of my first foray into talking about storytelling. So we're going to see how this goes and see what happens and hit the button and do the thing. Let's go. Drums, please. Hello friends, C-Note here. How you guys doing? Happy podcast day. Hope you guys are doing okay. Welcome back to Dopamine. And man, I've been a little bit thrown off my rocker at the moment because I was having a pretty good day. I was in a pretty good flow state. And then I got hit with this, I got interrupted in my process, and I was doing pretty okay. And trying to get back into the swing of things is a challenge. But we persist and we push forward. This morning, you know, I woke up and I just kind of looked at my phone, did a little bit of Twittering, and which sounds dirty, but that's not what I was doing. And Molly was getting ready for her morning, and, you know, she kind of comes over and gives me a hug and shows some love. And then I get in the shower, I put on some music, I sort of chill out and, you know, well, actually I'd take a poop, but you know, I don't know if you need to know that. I don't know if that's an important part of the story. I'm not a storytelling connoisseur, but, it's part of the story. Sometimes the most compelling stories have, a lot of details in them that you don't necessarily need, but it fulfills, the desire to know what someone's life is like. And storytelling brings us closer to people in that way. You get to experience what someone's existence is like. Because we're always curious, right? We're curious to know what someone else's life is like. So we can find ways to adapt it to our own. Or to just look at things and say like, oh, that's cool. Good for you. I'm glad that's working out for you. And to really get to experience perspectives that we don't get to experience ourselves, right? So my version of getting up in the morning and taking a poop and getting a shower and listening to music and, you know, getting out of the shower, getting dressed and working out and then going for a walk and then coming home and eating some food and doing some mental research and reading a little bit and then doing podcasting. Like, all of that sounds like a very basic story, but my individuality, my perspective is what allows it to be an interesting or my story, right? If I were to slow down and go through all of the particular details and describe my unique perspective, what it is that I saw, what did I experience, what did I do while I was working out, what did I think about while I was in the shower, what did I listen to music-wise, what did I listen to on my walk, what did I think about, what are the things that I see? What did I wear? What did I choose to put on today? What was I thinking about? What was my perception of Molly's emotional state and what she's doing and what she's dealing with? Like, what were my plans for the day? Right. And all of those are part of my individual story. And I think what's interesting about storytelling is that we allow ourselves to project ourselves onto someone else's perspective. At some point, what basically started to kind of throw me off is that I recorded two podcast episodes. I was in a pretty good flow state. And then, you know, Molly came home and she's kind of in an FI space and she's dealing with some difficult things. And the complexities around her kids, and there's just a lot of stuff going on that I don't know all the details in. She's just still working through that stuff, but being an inferior FE user, I can kind of feel it, and it kind of throws me off a little bit, which is not her fault. Like, I'm not blaming her, but it kind of throws me off because she needed a little bit of space to herself, and that means that, you know, I needed to leave and go somewhere and give her some room. I didn't need to. I made the choice. I said yes. So I decided to go do that, do some groceries. And actually, before I went to do groceries, I went to Barnes & Noble, which is not too far from here. And I decided to go in and read, I just browsed around. I was listening to music. But then I came across The Psychology of Zelda, which is a really interesting little book using Zelda as the framework to discuss psychological concepts. And the one that I came across so far, I've only read about 10 pages, and I just read it a little bit so I can just kind of chill, whatever. And the first concept I came across was about projections and how Carl Jung talks about projection and the fact that we, through stories often, we put ourselves in other people's shoes and we project our reality outward, and then it kind of comes back to us. So in a lot of situations, the things that we... Yeah, what we resist persists often. Like, what we want in life tends to manifest itself somehow, some way. Like, we end up projecting and willing things into our existence. You know, you think about how someone might be pretty much negative or expecting bad things to happen to them all the time. If that's the case, then bad things are going to keep happening, right? Because you're perpetuating behavior that ends up leading to that. But the idea of projection in this case is about identifying the character Link. I'm sure many of you have played the game Zelda at this point, that the main character of Link is an unspoken character. Like, he doesn't speak. He doesn't have a text bubble. He doesn't respond in any way. And for the most part, he does very basic interactions. Like, he might nod or he might smile or something like that. But for the most part, the fact that the character does not respond, especially in these harrowing circumstances, it allows the character to It allows the player to put themselves in the shoes of Link, because he's not providing specific perspective, right? If I tell you the story of me going through my day, waking up in the morning, taking a poop, going to the shower, listening to music, doing all the things that I'm doing, you can put yourself in that scenario because there are not specifics that are specific to me in those scenarios. The only thing that's unique to me in that is like podcasting at this point, right? And if you're a podcaster, then you can apply your context to it. So often when you're imagining me telling you about that, when I'm telling you about me going through my morning routine, you can put yourself in your scenario, in my shoes, but in through your projection, through your perspective, right? You don't know what my apartment looks like. You don't know what I look like, maybe, right? You don't know what my clothes are. You don't know the specifics, right? And I think that's the difference between story and just kind of descriptions and projections, right? So what I think is really interesting about Zelda is there's story in there, but Link allows the opportunity as a character for you to put yourself into that world. And through the character of Link, you get to experience all of the ups and downs and personal growths and the ability to gain new weaponry and find new problems to solve and solve those puzzles and find new dungeons and beat all the goblins and all the things that were in the original Zelda, but I don't know if goblins are still a thing. some form of them in Breath of the Wild. But the point is that you're allowing yourself to put yourself into a projection of this character. And your projection of yourself onto this character gives you the opportunity to experience things that you've never experienced before. I think that's somewhat of the beauty of my podcast, is that I'm sharing a lot of my particular story, and that gives you the opportunity to apply your circumstances to what it is that I'm going through, and we can compare notes and all of that stuff. But I'm not a nameless person. I'm doing plenty of talking, but you don't know me in a specific context enough to be able to fill in all the blanks that make it very, very, very specific to my story. There's still enough room for you to apply these concepts to your story. And I think that's the power of storytelling, Now, there's a wide range of storytelling, of course. Like, there's more detailed storytelling. There's the hero's journey. There's all sorts of different books and methods of telling a story. I think, for the most part, I think we've come across the basic tenets of what many stories involve, which is, like, the MacGuffin type of story, and then the bank heist, and the comedy, the hero's journey. I don't know what all the story names are, but I know that there are some great books out there that really talk about the unique aspects of storytelling. And I think for me, that's going to be a part of my journey, is learning how to tell better stories, because I want to connect and tell stories in a way that is engaging and interesting. But that's also part of the sales process a little bit too. This kind of leads to the narratives that we tell ourselves, and the narratives that we are able to tell others if we need to connect with them. And connecting, not manipulating. I think it's easy to take the concept of storytelling and want to manipulate using those concepts, but that's going to lead to sleazy sales, and that's going to not lead you down a good path. But in the moment, I think dealing with any kind of dealing with storytelling that is going to have connective tissue to it is going to be more valuable and important for you moving forward, to find some solid connection points for between you and the person that you're essentially trying to connect with and sell to, right? So if you're a freelancer, entrepreneur, trying to sell a product or whatever, most of the time, figuring out what your narrative is, having that connective tissue between you and the product, is going to get you to a place that's going to provide something that's just far more interesting than anything that's going to just be a description of what the product is, right? Like, if it was Link and he was just going through his morning routine, and you put yourself in your shoes of him doing his morning routine, that's not very interesting. There's no story there, right? But the story of Ganon and Princess Zelda and the hero of time and all of these complex concepts that they're dealing with, like, adding all of those bits and pieces of interesting detail is what allows you to put yourself in those shoes and be invested in the story. In the same way that if you're trying to sell someone a product, having them invested in your story in a way that allows them to put themselves in your shoes by projecting themselves into your narrative, like, that creates connective tissue. You know, that makes them pretty interested in you and interested in, most of the time, people see themselves in the things that they want, right? Or the reason that, I forget, there was like a saying, I can't remember what it is exactly, but people want, damn it, I can't remember. That's fine. That would have been perfect, but I can't remember it at the moment, so sorry. Basically, what you're going to have to deal with is thinking about people buy into the things that they are already naturally invested in and interested in. And that's themselves. Everyone's naturally interested in ourselves. So we like stories that end up connecting with our own personal journeys and stories as well, right? Or something that we maybe fantasize about or have some semblance of interest in, that is going to move us forward into a better place for us. So storytelling is something that I do want to get better at. It's something that I feel like I want to bring into this podcast a little bit and into my life a little bit more too. I feel like that's going to help with writing copy for projects, for products, and help me understand my own narratives that I've created for myself throughout my life. And I think this is the important part. This is where I'm trying to lead everything to, and kind of stumbling a little bit, but we're getting there. It's fine. And did I mention I'm off my rocker a little bit? So, okay, just to kind of complete a little bit more of what was going on with my story there. So Molly came in. She wasn't feeling really great. I went to read at the bookstore. I went to Trader Joe's, got some stuff. And I picked out, we're getting some, like, smoothie stuff. Like, we're trying to do more health food things. and got some smoothies, some things of rice, like really basic stuff. We're also pretty broke, so did what I could with $40 and got our food, and we're good for at least the next few days. So that's good. That makes me feel better. But then I come home and Molly's got to head out. So she went, she's going to get a haircut. And I was like really pumped to record podcast episodes. And the second I sit down, I hit record and I'm about to hit record. And the neighbor across the street starts mowing his lawn. I was pumped. I was primed. I was ready to go. And I actually recorded about 10 minutes of a podcast with it in the background, just like making comments on it every once in a while. And I was trying to be funny and I was like into it. But then I kept getting distracted by it and I couldn't focus on the concept. And I kept talking in circles, somewhat like I've been doing on this episode. And I haven't fully gotten into a flow state yet. And I'm a little frustrated by that. And not only that, but the second that we stopped recording, the second that I stopped recording, the lawnmower stopped and I was about to start again. But then my neighbor downstairs, who's got a little bit of there's issues, started just yelling at ghosts or something. I don't know what's going on, but there was some yelling going on. And I was just like, okay, well, come on. This is just like not meant to be right now. Well, I'm pretty persistent on getting this done. Like I have to, this is important to me. Getting these podcasts done are important to me in kind of writing my own story going forward. Like I'm trying to reframe and create a paradigm shift for myself where I am recording these podcasts in advance and getting them scheduled, getting them posted so that I can work through more of my to-do lists and try to catch up a little bit, because most of my narrative feels like it's been about being reactive and not being proactive in my choices and getting things done in the way that I want to, like I talked about in the proactive episode. So I was frustrated because I'm trying to make good choices here. And I sometimes you just can't. Sometimes there's outside forces that you can't control. And that being a part of the narrative in that moment was frustrating. It was frustrating and feeling like I couldn't do what I wanted to do in that second. So I also understand inherently that I need to make sure that I'm not feeding myself the narrative in this moment, that I'm never going to have time to do this, that it's going to be perpetually loud outside, which it is because it's summertime and people are crazy. And, I just got to take a moment. I got to breathe and not start feeding myself things that aren't going to be helpful to myself. But not only in the short-term version of this narrative, but like we think about how we kind of feed these narratives to ourselves throughout our life, that, this always happens to me, that sort of thing, right? Like maybe this episode should be called Narratives, not really storytelling, but I think it's about we tend to feed ourselves narratives and stories that are somewhat of a through line in our life. And we attach it to this idea of being a forever perpetual thing. You know, like this always happens to me. I never win. And like, this is just a pattern in my life, like stuff like that. Right. And it's not even remotely helpful at all to keep feeding ourselves these narratives, because if you keep telling the same story, yourself the same story enough, you're just going to keep believing it. And then other people are going to believe it. And before you know it, this fictional story that you've been feeding yourself becomes reality. All right, welcome back. Hope you survived. So I have this running narrative in my head over the past maybe 2 years, and particularly now as I spend a little bit more time doing psychology-based stuff, talking about mental health, creativity, and I'm always learning. I'm always trying new things. And for the most of my life, the most of my career, I have been a creative person. I've done graphic design, photo, video, and podcast editing for forever, it seems, like 18 years, mostly graphic design for the past 18 years. And all of that has been the result of... Let me make sure I'm checking... All right, just checking my gain. All of that has been the result of... I lost my train of thought. most of my life, I've been a graphic designer. And as a graphic designer, I have been doing a lot of client work. I've been doing a lot of things that that aren't really in the psychology realm. Like, I've had moments in life where I've dipped my toes in it. I was really obsessed with, like, gender studies when I was in my teens, as I was trying to figure out women and how to date them and try to understand them a little bit. And then trying to understand, I went into like astrology a little bit too, pretty intensely. And I think after that is when I did like a little tiny dip into Myers-Briggs, but I didn't really dive back into psychology at all after that. I felt like, I think one of the narratives in my head is not feeling qualified to even dive in. And the past year and a half, 2 years, I've been really, really diving into psychology, into Jungian psychology, talking about mental health on this podcast, talking about creativity. I think creativity is something I feel maybe the most qualified for. Psychology, not as much, but mental health in a lot of ways, yes, depends on the topic. And I really like to speak from experiential data when I'm talking about any of those three concepts. Like, this show is basically, this show, the website, the articles, all this, like, is basically forming into a show that is focused on mental health, creativity, and psychology, right? Particularly typology and personality development, right? And all of these concepts are things that, to some degree, I still wrestle with feeling like I'm qualified, right? I feel like part of my personal narrative is feeding myself this idea that I'm not qualified to talk about any of this stuff. And that seeps into my head all the time. This narrative that's kind of a big picture narrative that, like, you can't be taken seriously or validated or be an authority if you are not someone who is, has a degree. And that's a narrative that I think a lot of my generation has been fed through college, where really a lot of our parents were fed, and how that affected us by pushing us into college debt and situations that we were not quite ready for. So I think this narrative that I think a lot of us are working through, this idea that, like, there are more opportunities than ever to learn things on our own, through our own means, to figure out our learning style and really connect to, you know, how we can connect with other people and really figuring out what our strengths are. And now that I'm trying to identify myself, or have been identifying myself as an INTP really strongly over the past 2 years, I am leaning into my introverted thinking, and psychology is like massively on my brain, and it's constantly what I want to talk about. Like, waking up and doing podcasting is the thing that I want to do. I'm utilizing my skills as a creative person into pushing the narrative forward with using psychology, but I still wrestle all the time with feeling like I'm qualified to talk about any of this. I'm qualified to talk about mental health, that I'm qualified to talk about even creativity, which is something that I've been doing for over 20 years now. And still struggle with feeling like I'm valid in that sense. And I have a degree. I have a bachelor's degree in graphic design, and, like, still feel like I'm not the best all the time, right? You know? So struggling with that narrative is, like, really, really hard. It's a massive challenge. Let me turn the gain down just a little bit more. Okay. It's a challenge to let go of this narrative that we've kind of been fed throughout our lives, that, you know, we need to have some sort of accolade to be considered, to be taken seriously. And I'm learning that I can have influence, that that I can be someone to someone by putting in the effort and the time and the thoughtfulness into these concepts that I care about and really show some thoughtfulness and love in the way that I know how to do it, right? That a degree is not required. Sure, it helps, but I don't think it's required to go into certain things. Like, I can't go and teach a college class. Probably not. I mean, I'd have to, or I probably could, but I'd have to go, like, I'd have to figure out some sort of backdoor path to make that happen, right? So either way, like, we're kind of living in the golden age of opportunity. And I think a lot of us see that opportunity, but we still struggle with our internal narratives of feeling like we're allowed to put ourselves out there, that we're allowed to consider ourselves qualified for the things that we want to do and the people we want to influence and how we want to connect and how we want to sell and how we want to create. I think understanding that these narratives are something that are both fed to us and things that we perpetuate are something for us to be aware of. You know, if you were writing your story today, what would it include? You know, and think about it in granular detail, like, what has led to your thinking today? And you can kind of Tarantino it, like, start to think about what are some of the things that you feel are common threads in your life, things that are maybe self-sabotaging moments. Maybe you've had situations that keep happening, you know, you keep losing a job, or you keep losing money, or you keep having all sorts of challenges. And I'm kind of talking about my stuff. What are the through lines? What are the threads? And a lot of it I felt was me. And that's why I went to search deeply into being an INTP. Like, I wanted to figure out, like, what the hell is it about me that's, like, broken and wrong and not gelling with society? Or what's making me not a good husband? What's making me fail as a employee, right? And I'm continually unlocking things all the time, because there are things where I take personal responsibility for, but there are things that are simply external things also. And I can't take the blame for things that are not me, for me to take the blame on, but there are plenty where I can. And I can take those things and move forward with them. And understanding that as part of my story, really retracing my steps and learning how to write my life in as if it were a narrative, and then look for the stories that actually were, but then look for the stories that I keep telling myself that weren't actually true or aren't true anymore, right? Like, I'm starting to rewrite some of the narrative around my divorce in my own head and how I speak about it. I mean, I haven't really spoken about it publicly in a while, in terms of, like, friends and family and stuff. I talk about it on this podcast, but there are some things that I feel like I'm taking a lot more responsibility for than when I initially left. And I'm reconciling with some of those challenges of understanding that. And I think from the start, I've never wanted to speak ill of my ex-wife. I think she's a good person. She's a good mom, all of that stuff. But I also need to recognize that there were definitely behaviors and reactions to me that were not things that were helping either of us. And there were choices that I made that were not helping us either, right? So basically adding the choices that I made, or the lack of choices that I wasn't making, to the equation is kind of balancing it out a little bit more. And the challenge is reconciling with the idea of, like, well, would have things been okay if I had made better choices? And then you kind of look at more granular detail and you figure out, like, yeah, probably not. But, you know, it's these are things that we wrestle with all the time as we try to figure out what are the accurate pieces of our story that lead to, you know, the hopefully the storybook ending that we're all looking for. And we can continue to realize that we're going to navigate all sorts of challenges as we continue to go forth in our lives. And we're going to come across new obstacles. Sometimes we're going to have everything stripped from us, and we're going to come across a challenge that is too much. Just think about another Zelda example, or like Metroid is another example of a game that usually at the start of the game, you have all of your items and you fight a boss that is too much for you. And for some reason you lose because you weren't ready. You didn't have the experience that you would at the end of the game. So you're stripped of all of your stuff and you're sent on to this beginning of this new journey, and you have to sort of relearn your skills and collect all of your things and regain some experience and perspective. And then when it's time to go defeat that boss again, you have this new opportunity to take on something that you originally thought was insurmountable, and now it's nothing or close to nothing, right? It's an easy task. And as long as we don't get tied to the times where we fall, I think we can always be writing new pages of our story and continuing to go forward in a way that allows us to control our lives in a way that's more meaningful and thoughtful. I hope I'm not just talking in circles. I feel like I'm talking in circles a little bit, but the idea here is that we can write great stories for ourselves as long as we realize that we're holding the pen and that we are writing the book and we are in charge of what, you know, the perception is. As long as we understand that we have to look at what is and experience what is and take note of what is, and just make better decisions as we go forward to, you know, make the next chapter better, more interesting, more lively, more successful than the last one. Okay, that's it. I'm running out of steam. I'm going to wrap this up. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I felt like I was a little all over the place, but if there's something else you can add to this, please hit me up at Let's Go CNote and let me know what you think. I'll probably rehash this topic in the future. I want to do a little bit of research on storytelling and see if there's something we can apply to our own personal narratives. But thinking about projections, thinking about Zelda and how the main character Link is someone that we can project ourselves onto and then experience life through his eyes in that world, gives us opportunities to grow in different ways. That's why we love stories so much. That's why we love reading stories and narratives. Like, we can connect ourselves to the characters and learn through various perspectives that we would just not personally be able to experience, right? So hit me up at Let's Go CNote. Go to dopamine.life to check out our website, and you can sign up for the Myers-Briggs introductory course there. And patreon.com/dopamine if you want to leave some monetary love. Just as little as a dollar will give you access to the podcast 5 days early, and you will also be able to hear it without ads, which is great because I have to use ads because money. And other than that, if you are an INTP looking to do some personal development via podcast style, I have a podcast called Cosmic Calibration, and it is also a course at bit.ly/cosmicINTP, all lowercase, where you learn as an INTP to connect with your NE and your FE and be able to explore a little bit more, learn how to connect yourself to the universe and yourself, and go forth, let go of some of your logic, use it for good, and grow as a person, right? So, you know, it's podcast style. It's just me talking like this for 15 hours. It's a lot of topics. But I think this is all stories of my personal growth, and hopefully it helps you by putting yourself in my shoes and resonating. So I think that's it. I need to take a break, and I have one more podcast to record. But yeah, take care of yourselves and each other. I'll catch you next time on Dopamine. See you guys. Hey, you beautiful human. Thanks for listening to Dopamine and providing your support for this show. I really, really appreciate it. If you really love this show, leave a review on iTunes and Stitcher to show some love for the podcast. You can also check out cnote.media to check out my work and my courses. But with that, we'll catch you next time. See you guys later.